Good morning, church. We continue our study on the subject of divine healing, and I read to you the same passage that I read last time, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that once again this morning we as a church, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, can access your very throne room and call you Abba. Indeed, you are Lord God Almighty, you are El Shaddai, you are the Sovereign of the universe. You are the God who put those billions of galaxies into space. And yet you are our loving Heavenly Father, and you have proven your love to us in sending your only begotten Son into this world. And blessed Lord, you came. Yes, you came. You left glory, wrapped yourself in human flesh, and took upon your sinless, perfect body our sin, our shame, our guilt, our pain, our sorrow, and our sicknesses. And your holy word tells us that you were wounded for our transgressions, a bruise for our iniquities. The punishment of our peace was laid upon you. By the very blows that cut into your body, we have been healed. And we thank you, blessed Lord, for you included us in your death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. And you've raised us up and seated us with you. You indeed are seated far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named in this age and the age to come. We thank you, Lord, that we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. You made us heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Our names written in the Lamb's book of life. You've promised us no one can snatch us out of your hands. Yes, Lord, out of the domain of darkness, you pulled us up. You lifted us up. You set us free from captivity and slavery to sin and Satan, brought us into your marvelous light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Hallelujah. We give you all praise. Yes, we give you all worship. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. Here we are. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to you this morning. Our bodies are your temple, your treasure, instruments of righteousness in your hands. Vessels fit for the Master's use, weapons in your hands for your glory. And you are the Lord of battles, you are the man of war. The Lord, the man of war, is what your word tells us, Lord. You're ahead of us, you're behind us. We thank you. The battle is yours, the victory is yours. You crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that you fight for us. Your word says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So come, open our eyes. This morning, as we look into the pages of your word, open our eyes to perceive the wonderful truths out of your holy law. Write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our last study on divine healing, we looked into the necessity of faith for divine healing. The necessity of faith for divine healing. And we also saw the ordinances of anointing with oil and the laying on of hands. And today we will look into the basis for faithful faith. The basis for faithful faith. You can call it steadfast faith. You can call it faith that endures. I prefer to call it faithful faith. The basis for faithful faith in regard to divine healing. Now let me say this. Faithful faith is the key. It's the key to divine healing. Now you would hear people, including believers, who are uncertain regarding divine healing, and you would hear them saying, I've been prayed for by the greatest people of faith in the past so many years. Or they may say, or their relatives may say, I have seen my nephew or my aunt being prayed for, but nothing has changed, nothing has happened. And they may name the people who prayed for them and even recount the number of years that have gone by. And they would say, or their relatives would say, he has never received help. Then they ask, why cannot I be healed, or why cannot he be healed? The biblical answer is, if you believe, you will be healed. That's the answer. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus told the father who brought his son to him who was demonized. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. That's what the spirits do. A spirit, apparently a spirit of suicide, a spirit that desired to kill him, wanted to kill him. The thief comes, remember, only to steal and to kill and to destroy. From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Look at what Jesus said. If you can, said Jesus. I believe that's the tone of his voice. If you can. Never forget that gentle rebuke of Jesus. Everything is possible for one who believes. Everything. These are not my words. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is possible for one who believes. Mark 9 verses 21 to 23. So what does Jesus require of us when we come to him for healing? He requires faithful faith from us, that we will believe that it is his will to heal us, and then he can surely heal us, not otherwise. The element of doubt surfaces when the question is asked, do you think God is willing to heal you? And the usual answer is, I don't know. I know that if it is will to do it, he is able. But well, I guess that's just one of those things we are not supposed to know. That's exactly the reason why healing has not taken place. That's exactly the reason why healing has not taken place. The problem is when people don't read the word of God or hear the word of God for themselves. They read it maybe to tell other people or to take a Bible study. I don't know why you study the word of God or read the word of God. Is it to take a Bible study or is it to share in the youth fellowship? I don't know. I hope not. When you don't read the word of God or hear the word of God for yourself, you cannot appropriate what God has said in his word for yourself. Therefore, they do not have the faithful faith that is needed for divine healing. They do not know whether or not God has said he would heal them. Therefore, they do not know whether or not it is his will to heal them. Now ask yourself, do you believe it is God's will to keep his promises to me? Ask yourself that question. I give you some time to pause and think. Do you believe it is God's will to keep his promises to me? Ask yourself that question. Now, if your answer is yes, of course, well, let me tell you this. According to God's word, he has promised to heal you. And if you would accept and appropriate his promises for yourself, then faithful faith will begin immediately to operate in your life and you will be healed. Now don't forget, God included you. I repeat, God included you in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension and exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you believe in the work that Jesus has done for you, and you appropriate by faith what he has done for you on the cross, then by his wounds you are healed. Because it is prophesied, and I repeat this verse over and over again, these two verses, Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 5, to me these are the most important verses in scripture. Surely he has borne our griefs. And the actual word there for griefs is sicknesses. You find that in Matthew chapter 8. The actual meaning of that word, the Hebrew word, is sicknesses. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten, struck down. That's the actual meaning. By God. Struck down by God. And afflicted. But he was wounded, pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our. I've underlined those words, our. O-U-R. I come back to that again. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by the blows that cut into his body, we are healed. That's the declaration the Bible makes. And this truth is again affirmed in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah says, by the way, that's a translation problem, all right? Griefs is translated as griefs in Isaiah 53, verse 4. But you have the exact translation in English in Matthew chapter 8. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Our sicknesses. Now that word borne in Isaiah 53 verse 4 and the word bore in Matthew chapter 8 verse 17 means substitution. Suffering for as my substitute. Not sympathy. Not sympathy as in suffering with. But suffering for as my substitute. He took my place, in other words. There's a beautiful song which goes, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on that cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place as my substitute. That means Christ has borne our sicknesses as our substitute. He has borne our sicknesses. That means he gives us healing and health in exchange. Now don't forget that you were included in that word, our. Our. That's why I underline that word over and over again. You were included in that word, our, in Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 5 and Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. Now remember the scriptures regarding the healing of our bodies. And these scriptures are applicable to everyone individually. It is for you. And all you need is faithful faith. Hang in there and trust him. Faithful faith is enduring faith. It is steadfast faith. So you are included in the you of Exodus chapter 15 verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That's for you as an individual. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 again. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And I've said that over and over again. This verse is the full gospel, the full truth. That Jesus died not only for the penalty of my sins, he bore, it says in the first part of the verse, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That means he died to pay the penalty for my sins. He died as my substitute. Doesn't stop there. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Jesus not only died for my sins, but he died to my sin, which means I can live a life of victory. He knew no sin. He did no sin. There was no sin found in him. But he died as my substitute and as my representative. He died not only to pay the penalty for my sin, bearing my sin, he also died to break the power of cancel sin over my life, to set me free from the grip of sin. He died to my sin. Sin is not dead. The nature of sin in me is not dead. When I put on the glorified body, that body will have no nature of sin. Until then, the nature of sin still exists. But when Jesus died on the cross, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, He crucified my old man. That part of me that yielded to the nature of sin was dealt with on the cross. So that the power of sin, the grip of sin over my life was shattered. I don't have to sin. If I don't want to sin, doesn't mean I'm sinless. It means I can live a blameless life. What does that mean? A life of victory. Conscious victory over conscious sin is possible because of the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. He died for my sin. He bore my sin, paid the penalty for my sin. He died to my sin as my representative, so that the power of sin, the grip of sin is shattered. It doesn't stop there. The gospel doesn't stop there. Our problem is we preach only one third of the gospel most of the time. Jesus died for your sin and we stop there. And so we have one third Christians, or even half Christians. They are powerless. What's the third part of the gospel? By whose stripes? By the blows that cut into his body. That's actually what it means. By the blows that cut into his body, you were healed. Remember, it's past tense. You were healed. He did that for you so that you and I could be healed. Healed what? Physically. He dealt with the spiritual aspect. He died for our sins. He died to our sin. The death he died, Romans 6 verse 10 says, the death he died to sin once for all. The life that he lives unto God. Therefore, Romans 6 11 says, reckon yourself dead to sin, alive unto God. He bore the penalty. He broke the power of sin. He bore the penalty of sin. He broke the power of sin. And he heals my body. He heals my body. That's the full gospel. And that's why when this full gospel is proclaimed, signs and wonders take place. Bodies are healed. Demons flee. When this full gospel is proclaimed, victory follows. You don't have one-third Christians and two-third Christians. You have full, powerful, witnessing Christians who proclaim this glorious gospel wherever God places them. So you are included in that you in 1 Peter 2:24. And then, is anyone sick among you, says James? Don't forget, you are included in that word, anyone. James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, because the work has already been done on the cross. You were healed. By his stripes, you were healed. Trust him. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Doesn't say might, doesn't say may, but will raise him up. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Now, in the face of all of these scriptures, which are statements made to all who will believe them, do you think God has included you? There lies the question. I trust your answer is, of course, he did include me. Well then, is God willing to heal you? Seeing that he has made the provision for the healing of every sickness and every disease. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Now if you don't believe this, I tell you, 3/4 of the Bible is out. If you call yourself an evangelical, a Bible believing Christian, believe the whole Bible, please. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Yes, it is his will to heal you. Please get that straight. It is God's will to heal you. You see, God's word is for you personally. And if you would only affirm that God's word is for you personally, then what happens? You are sure to experience the promises of his word, which include healing for your body. You've probably never seen it like this before. But the moment you begin to affirm God's word for you personally, then healing becomes yours. It's the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Matthew 15 verse 26. In other words, that's a staple diet on the table for every child of God. That's the bread. Which of you parents, your son asks for bread, you give him a stone? You wouldn't, would you? It's the children's bread. When you know what God has said regarding all sickness and disability, and when you dare to step out on that word, then what happens? Faithful faith becomes a reality. Then the you of Exodus 15:26 and the hour of Matthew chapter 8 verse 17 and the anyone of James chapter 5 verse 14 becomes yours. Not until then. You declare yourself as being included in what God's word has said, and then God's word will surely be accomplished in you. And by his stripes, by those blows that cut into his body, you are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Now when you begin to see that the promises in God's word are for you, when you begin to realize that these promises are for you personally, then you will act upon God's word and you will expect him to make it good in your life. That's faithful faith. And when faithful faith becomes active in your life, healing follows. Because God desires that his goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Now let's look at what faith is. What is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I like what someone said. It's put this way. I quote, faith is the title deed for things you have hoped for, the putting to proof of things unseen. Faith is the title deed for things you have hoped for. You have the title deed in your hand, you know for sure it's yours. The putting to proof of things unseen, the proof is the title deed. Faith is the title deed to the property you know you possess, even though you have not yet seen it. One of the most helpful and enlightening expressions of faith is this. Faith is expecting God to do what you know he said in his word that he will do. That's faith. Faith is believing that God speaks the truth. That's faith. Now, if you come from an evangelical background, as I come from, we are taught that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But most of the time, it remains in our heads. That's our problem. Bible is God's inspired, infallible, inerrant word that's drilled into us. But the problem is, it's there in the head. It doesn't move to the heart. And so we don't experience the word, which we call infallible, inerrant, and inspired, to become flesh in us. God deals with his children like this. First, he gives us a promise. Then, when that promise creates faith, which produces action, then God fulfills it. So faith is expecting God to do what you know he said in his word that he will do. And faith is believing that God speaks the truth. God does not lie. God has never asked that we exercise faith for something that he has not first promised to do for us. So that's why God deals with his children like this. First, he gives us a promise. Then when that promise creates faith, faithful faith inside of us, which produces action, then he fulfills the promise. Always remember, God never asks us to believe he will do something for us unless he has promised to do it. Because of this fact, the Apostle Paul has stated very clearly that faith comes by hearing, the hearing of the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now how could faith possibly come any other way? It can't. How are you to know that your parents are going to give you an inheritance unless they write a will for you? If they're not written a will for you, you're unsure. The fact that they write a will for you proves their willingness to give you the inheritance. And you see, you need to have the promise before you can expect the gift of the inheritance. And the will is the promise. The only way for your daughter to know parents. For the only way for your daughter to know that she will receive a new dress tomorrow is for you to promise that new dress to her. And she believes that you will not fail to keep your word. Yet there is this possibility that you could die before tomorrow. God forbid. Or you may not have been honest with your daughter. But not so with the Lord. The Bible says in Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Jesus Christ is the healer. No one else but Jesus. Not the preacher, not the pastor, not the evangelist, not the faith healer. Jesus and Jesus alone heals. Let's get that straight. F.F. Bosworth, old time Pentecostal, powerful servant of God. He wrote one of the most outstanding books ever to be published on the subject of divine healing. And this is how he begins the book. I quote, "Before you can have a steadfast faith for the healing of your body, you must be rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will in the matter. Appropriating faith cannot go beyond your knowledge of the revealed will of God. Before attempting to exercise faith for healing, you need to know what the scriptures very plainly teach. The scriptures teach very clearly that it is just as much God's will to heal the body as it is God's will to heal the spirit." We saw that in 1 Peter 2:24. That's a full gospel. That's a full gospel. That is why I believe there is healing in the atonement. I'm a true evangelical. The Bible makes it very clear. Just as much it is God's will to heal the body as it is God's will to heal the spirit. And it's only by knowing that God promises what you are seeking that all uncertainty can be removed and faithful faith begins to operate. Faithful faith is possible. Each of God's promises are a revelation of what God is so eager to do for us. And until we know what God's will is, what He has promised for us, until we know these promises, there is nothing on which to base our faith. Your faith is not on thin air. Your faith is not on gossip. Your faith has to be based on the Holy Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. Jesus said, the word is the seed. Luke chapter 8 verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed of divine life. And until you are sure from God's word that it is His will to heal you, you're trying to reap a harvest where no seed has been planted. And it is impossible for a farmer to have faith for a harvest before seed is planted. God is faithful. It is not God's will that there be a harvest without the planting of the seed. Without His will being made known and acted upon and received by faith. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. You need to know the truth. You need to grasp the truth, understand the truth, receive the truth for yourself. And then what happens? You are made free. The truth shall make you free. Freedom from sickness comes from knowing the truth. God does nothing without His word. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. That's how He heals us. He sends His word. All we're called to do is believe in His word. Not just for your spirit and your soul, but also for your body. These are the words of the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Bible. And all His work is done in faithfulness to His promises, to His word. He is faithful to His word. And if you are sick, then knowledge that it is God's will to heal you is the seed which is planted in your mind and in your heart. And it is not planted there until it is known and received and trusted. The seed is planted when you know the word, when you receive the word, when you trust the word. Then God's word, which is the seed of divine life, has been planted in you. That's how God's word is planted in your mind and in your heart. And that's how the word is written upon your mind and upon your heart. And that's my prayer each time I open up the pages of the scripture. Open my eyes, Lord. I may see, I may know wonderful truths out of your holy law. Write your word upon my mind, upon my heart. Cause your word to become flesh in me. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, do this. Nobody can do that except God. What does he want out of you? Simple, childlike trust in his word. That's it. That's it. You cannot become a Christian until you know that it is God's will to save you. Until then, what were you? Oh, cats and dogs are born in Christian homes. By virtue of being born in a Christian home, nobody becomes a Christian. When do you become a Christian? When you hear the glorious gospel and you repent of your sin and you turn away from sin and you turn toward God and trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Put your faith in him. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The moment you return, the moment you turn and come to Christ, the moment you repent, that's turning. It's a U-turn, a 180 degree turn. You turn and you come to Jesus in faith. The very moment you do that, he delivers you. He delivers you. You're born of God's Spirit. You cannot become a Christian until then. It is the word of God that is planted and watered and faithfully trusted, which heals both your spirit and your body. Now, the seed must remain planted. And it must be kept watered before it can produce its harvest. I don't know if you're like me. When I was a kid, I loved farming. I still love farming. You don't plant the seed and then doubt whether something is happening. And then go and dig up the seed the next day. Dig up the ground and see if anything has happened. Sad to say, that's how many believers are. They fail to let the seed remain planted. They don't water it. They dig it up the next day. And that is what causes ruin. But Jesus Christ is able and he is willing. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. He does not change. He is unchanging. His promises do not change. His word does not change. So for you to say, I believe the Lord is able to heal me, before you know from God's word that he's willing to heal you, that's like the farmer saying, I believe God is able to give me a harvest without any seed being planted and watered. God cannot regenerate your spirit before you know his will in the matter. And that's why the Bible clearly declares, Romans 10:17, I repeat, so then faith comes. How? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And no other means by which you can get faith. Salvation is by faith. That is by trusting the known will of God. The promise of salvation is given to us in God's holy word because of what Jesus has done for us. Now being healed is being saved in a physical sense. That's what being healed is. Try and get that. Being healed is being saved in a physical sense. All right? I hope it clicks. Praying for healing with the faith destroying words, if it be your will. That's not planting the seed. That's actually destroying the seed. That's destroying the seed. Now listen carefully. James chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Look at that. The prayer of faith which heals the sick is to follow the prayer of faith which heals the sick, is to follow, not precede, the planting of the seed, the word of God. The seed is the word of God upon which faith is based. The seed is the word of God upon which faith is based. And this is the gospel which the Holy Spirit says is the power of God to salvation in all its phases, both physical and spiritual. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." He uses the word there, power. The word in Greek is dunamis. Dynamite comes from that word, dunamis. Dynamic comes from that word, dunamis. Dynamo comes from that word, dunamis. Power. There's another word in Greek used instead of power, it is translated authority, exousia. Exousia. Exousia means authority. But dunamis is dynamite. The explosive power of God. And that happens when the glorious full gospel is proclaimed. And that's why Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the dunamis of God, the power of God, the explosive power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." So the full gospel is for every creature and for all nations. And the full gospel does not leave a person in uncertainty praying, "If it be your will." No. The full gospel clearly tells us what God's will is. I repeat 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Yes, that's physical healing. The Holy Spirit's words, "He himself bore our sicknesses," Matthew 8:17, are just as truly a part of the gospel as his words, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree," 1 Peter 2:24. Both are equally important, the spiritual and the physical face of the gospel. And please don't separate the two. And that's what evangelicals are guilty for centuries. That's a distorted gospel. That's not the whole truth. Don't separate the two. If the physical face of the gospel, which is divine healing and deliverance, was not needed, let me tell you this. If the physical face of the gospel, which is divine healing, was not needed, then let me tell you this very clearly. Jesus would never have left glory. He would never have left glory and wrapped himself, taking upon himself a human body. Who is he? The creator of the whole universe. All things were created by him and through him and for him, says the Bible. Why did he take upon himself a human body? So that he could save you not only from your sins, but he could deliver you from all your sicknesses and heal you and give you life abundant, so that you can live the life that God expects you to live on earth, to serve him, to please him, to bring glory to him, to honor him, so that his kingdom is manifest in your life. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Through whom? Through those who believe the whole gospel. Not the half gospel, not the one third gospel, but the whole gospel. Jesus would never have left glory and taken upon himself a human body and then go through the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says there his sweat was like his sweat. Remember his sweat. You and I sweat. He sweated. And what did he sweat? Drops of blood. For what? For your salvation, for your deliverance, for your healing. And then the whipping, the Roman whip, is not one less than 40. That's a Jewish whip. That's what Paul endured. What Jesus endured was the Roman whip. And if you've seen that movie Passion, that's something about it. Something like it. Usually people don't survive the Roman whip. They usually die. But he had to die on the cross. And in his perfect body, he took all of it. And then we sang that song, Via Dolorosa. I don't know whether it's Via Dolorosa. I don't know which way he went, but I know he bore that cross and he hung there on Calvary, Golgotha, on that skull-shaped hill, so that you and I could be delivered from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and be healed in our bodies so that we can serve him. And he would never have gone through physical agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would never have gone through physical torture of that Roman whip and the agony of crucifixion. He went through all of that with just one purpose, so that you and I can be made whole. Shalom. In spirit, in soul, and in body. And that's why he came. Now, seed is powerless unless it is planted. And now, instead of praying, pray for me. You know, I've heard that so many times, and I love to pray for people who say that, pray for me. I would pray. I will pray. I'll sincerely pray. If you say pray for me, you can take my word, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. But you know, instead of saying pray for me, many should first start saying, teach me God's word, so that I can intelligently cooperate with God for my healing, for my recovery, for my deliverance. And we must know what the benefits of redemption are before we can appropriate them by faith. This is God's plan for you. God's purpose is for you to be whole. Shalom. That's God's purpose for you. David specified in Psalm 103 verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So after being sufficiently enlightened, our attitude towards sickness should be the same as our attitude towards sin. Our purpose to have our body healed should be as definite as our purpose to have our spirit healed. Don't create a dichotomy. Please don't. That's not the gospel. Make sure you believe the whole gospel. Our purpose is to have our body healed. That should be as definite as our purpose to have our spirit healed. We don't ignore any part of the gospel. Jesus Christ our Lord both bore our sins and our sicknesses, that we can be delivered from both sin and sickness. And the fact that Christ bore our sins and sicknesses is surely a valid reason for trusting him now for deliverance from both sin and sickness. And when we pray and ask God for the forgiveness of our sins, we are to believe on the authority of God's word, that our prayer is heard. And we are to do the same when praying for healing. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Life and health. What a lovely passage of scripture. God tells us exactly how to attend to his word, to what he's saying. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Now, our problem is that our eyes are most of the time on our symptoms when we are sick. Isn't that true? Oh, my leg hurts. My head hurts. I know it hurts. But our eyes are most of the time on what hurts, on our symptoms. And instead of having your eyes on the symptoms and being occupied and preoccupied with those symptoms, God is now telling you, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. That means we are to look to God's word continually and not be occupied and preoccupied with our symptoms. I'm not saying deny your symptoms. I'm not saying that. But please don't be preoccupied with them. If there's something that you need to be preoccupied with, which is an absolute must and a necessity, it's the word of God. That's what should saturate your thinking and your heart. And then your will follow. And you'll experience the word becoming flesh. If you get preoccupied with your symptoms, then you're bound to go into depression. Let me tell you, one of the causes of depression is your symptoms that your mind is occupied with all the time. And you get depressed. Let not God's word depart from your eyes. That means look at God's word continually. That's what Abraham did. Be strong in faith. How? Looking at the promises of God and nothing else. Look at Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. All he knew is God has called me. That's it. And God has told me to go, so I'll go. Where? One step at a time. That's what I think Abraham did. Not even one day at a time. One step at a time. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm taking the step, trusting you. That's it. Hebrews 11, verses 11 to 12. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Somebody said, how do you know God exists? Israel! God's promise. From where? From a dead womb. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, look at that. Abraham, who had received God's promises, in other words, he received God's word, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned. He reasoned right because he reasoned according to God's word. He didn't reason according to the world. He reasoned right because he had his mind on the word. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. That's how he could put Isaac on the altar. That's faith. In what? In God's word. Now, good seed grows. When we attend to God's word by not letting them depart from before our eyes and by keeping them in the middle of our hearts, what happens to the seed? The seed is in good ground. And this is the kind of ground in which Jesus says it brings forth fruit, or it produces a harvest. And Paul says it works effectively. Look at the words of Jesus. Matthew 13 verse 23. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest. In other words, brings forth fruit of 30, 60 or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Look what Paul says. He says it works effectively. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You see that? Jesus says it brings forth fruit, produces a harvest. Paul says it works effectively. That's what happens to the seed when it is planted right. When the farmer puts seed into the ground, he does not dig it up every day to see how it's going. He believes that the seed has begun its work. So why not have the same faith in this imperishable seed, the word of God, which is spirit and life? And please believe that God's word is at work irrespective of the symptoms. Don't keep waiting for visual evidence. Please. Just trust in what God has said. And let me tell you again, that's how my wife got healed. She got the word. The son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. That was it. She was assured that God's going to raise her up. That's all you need. She had absolutely no fear once she received the word. When your eyes are on your symptoms and your mind is occupied with those symptoms more than with God's word, then you have planted the wrong kind of seed for the harvest that you desire. You have in your mind seeds of doubt. You're trying to raise one kind of crop from another kind of seed, and it is impossible to sow tares and reap wheat. Your symptoms may point to your death. That's what my wife's symptoms were like. Yeah. The doctor said neutrophil count 0, WBC 200. My mother, yeah, she's even now when she hears it, she faints. She heard it here, I was in Velo. And that's what they said. And then I didn't know. Ignorance is bliss. I had no clue what this means. WBC 200. I thought that's great. Neutrophil 0. So I said, Amma, neutrophil 0, WBC 200. She just collapsed. That's what the symptoms are. You hold on to God's word. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. That's what she held on to. She got healed. Your symptoms may point to death, but God's word points you to life, and you cannot look in these opposite directions at the same time. After you plant the seed, you believe it's growing even before you see it. And that's faith. There's something happening under the ground, I can't see it, but it's happening. It's happening. In Christ we have perfect evidence for faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And in Jesus we have the perfect evidence for faith. Any person can get rid of their doubts by looking faithfully and only at the evidence which God has given for our faith. Saying only what God says will produce an increase in faith. And this will make it easier to believe than to doubt. The evidences for faith are much stronger than those for doubting. So don't doubt your faith. But you can doubt your doubts. Please go ahead and doubt your doubts. Don't doubt your faith. Because your doubts are unreliable. God is waiting on you. God is waiting on you. Do you believe that it is God's will to save a sinner? You surely would say yes. But I ask you, how do you know? Now you might answer, the golden text of the Bible, John chapter 3 verse 16, proves. John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you're willing to believe that God would save the vilest sinner because you can quote that one Bible verse which promises what you believe? Now let me ask you, do you not believe it is God's will to heal you or your loved one whom you're praying for? Now you might say now, well, I don't know that we can say so. Now my question is, will God keep his promises? And you will say, yes, of course he will. Well then, please take note of this. The same Bible that invites whoever to be healed of sin also invites anyone among you to be healed of sickness. James 5 verses 14 to 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. All that is required is the prayer of faith, faithful faith, if I may add. Don't forget, the same Christ who always forgave sins, always healed sicknesses. It is the same deliverer who said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Mark chapter 2 verse 11, who also said, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Matthew chapter 9 verse 2. The same scripture that says, who forgives all your iniquities, also says, who heals all your diseases. Psalm 103 verse 3. The same scripture that says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, also says, by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. So please don't dichotomize. Christians today Fail to trust. Fail to trust. Trust what? What God has said. Christ came to rid us. Christ came to rid us of sickness as well as sin. He took our sicknesses as well as our sins. He redeemed us from one as well as from another. From both sin and sickness. Both sin and sickness are hateful in God's sight. Please understand that. Because sickness is a result of man's fall. And that's why he left glory to deliver us from the fall. To rescue us from the consequences of the fall. Both sin and sickness. Jesus Christ brought defeat to both sin and sickness while here on earth, and he still wants to do the same. And if you can be sure that God is willing to save the sinner, then you can be just as sure that he's willing to heal you or your loved one who is sick, whom you're praying for. Faithful faith is within reach, my friends. It's not complicated. It's not atomic science. It's simple trust. Please don't complicate God's word by reading into it. Let God's word read you. Please understand the simplicity of the word of God. And please take him at his word. And then you will be happy to discover that Jesus Christ is healer of all, just as he is savior for all. Faith is only believing that God will do what he has said in his word that he will do. This fact places faith within the reach of the simplest child. That's why I love this church and the children here in this church. I'm telling you, these little children, when I hear them worshipping the Lord, when I hear these little ones worshipping the Lord, I wish we would become like them. I wish we would become like them. Simple childlike trust. That's what God wants. When once we conclude that the written word is God's revealed will to us for everything that he longs to do for us, then we will treasure God's word and we'll stand upon the word of God, standing on the promises. We sing it, but do you believe it? We treasure God's word and we stand upon it, fully expecting God to make it good. No wavering. No doubting, no worrying. God has said it, I believe it, that settles it. One of the greatest hindrances to healing is the absence of a certain definite knowledge as to God's will. You know, there's a lurking feeling in almost every person who has not properly studied God's word with regard to the subject of healing. There is a lurking feeling that God may not be willing to heal us and that we have to persuade God to heal us. No! People often say, I know that God is able. He has the power to heal me if he only will. You know, the leper said that. Jesus was merciful, good to him. Doesn't rebuke him. The 8th chapter of Matthew, the leper said to Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Matthew 8 verses 2 to 3. And behold, the leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. So full of compassion, no rebuke there. He rebuked the father of the child who was demonized. But here, no rebuke, no rebuke. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Many of us have been, you know, we've been taught to pray, if it be your will, heal me. Now that's not the way David prayed. David cried out in Psalm 6 and verse 2, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. That's what he said, heal me. He didn't say, if it be your will. He said, heal me, O Lord, heal me. Then he adds in the 9th verse, Psalm 6 verse 9, the Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. No doubt. There are no ifs or buts in David's prayer. The prophet Jeremiah, he too had no doubt about God's will as to healing. He cried out, Jeremiah 17 verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. How lovely. You have both salvation of the soul and salvation for the body. Not one verse. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. So also we, as God's people of this day, we should be free from doubt regarding our Father's will for our bodies. Because it is as clearly revealed in the Word of God that it is His will to heal us, just as it is His will concerning our spiritual salvation. And God's works are not in vain. His works are not in vain. In a sense, the whole Bible is a revelation, not only of God's willingness to heal our spiritual ailments, but also our physical ailments. And one of His covenant names, I love this name, Yahweh Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Exodus 15:26. He is the changeless, healing, health-bestowing, life-giving Lord, the undisputed sovereign over all the powers of the universe. He is Lord, Jehovah Rapha. Jesus Christ is the exact image of the Father, the perfect expression of God and His holy will. He could say, He who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14:9. Jesus could say that. Jesus declared that His works were not His own, but the Father's that sent Him. John 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that He has sent me, that He sent me. And then in His high priestly prayer, He prayed, Lord, I finished the work that You've Father, I finished the work that You entrusted me to. And on the cross, He cried out the victory cry, it is finished. John 10:25, Jesus replied, I've already told you and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name. Nicodemus the Pharisee said to Jesus, John 3:2, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And in His high priestly prayer, Jesus prays to the Father, John 17:4, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He healed all who came to Him. He never refused a single individual. Even the Syrophoenician woman. He tested her, yes. Never refused her. You cannot find a case where He said, you cannot find a case in the Gospels where Jesus said, it is not my will to heal you. His answer was always, I will. And is today also, I will. And this fact settles forever what God's will is in regard to sickness and health. Salvation includes physical healing. And that, I believe, is the glorious gospel. And that's why signs and wonders take place when the full gospel is proclaimed. Not the half gospel. The word salvation, if properly understood, shows beyond a shadow of doubt that healing for the body is always the will of God for any and all who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. God is a just God, and He has to punish sin. But God is also a God of love and mercy, and He wants to forgive the sinner. A prominent part of the penalty of sin, in the Bible we see it very clear, is the curse of sickness. The curse of sickness. That's a prominent part of the penalty of sin. Deuteronomy chapter 28 speaks about many such sicknesses. Deuteronomy 28:21, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until it has consumed you. Cling to you until he has consumed you. Sin has its curse, and it's seen in the body in sickness. Deuteronomy 28:22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever. All this is because of disobedience. The first half of Deuteronomy 28 is all about blessing. The second half is all about curses. God says, this is what will happen to you because of sin, because of disobedience, because of your rebellion. Deuteronomy 28:27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. I hope you're not going through some of this. If you are, you definitely need healing. You definitely need deliverance. Deuteronomy 28 verse 59. Then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Deuteronomy 28:61. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law. Just think of it. Not written in the book of the law. AIDS was not written in the book of law. It wasn't. I don't think COVID was either. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. But Jesus Christ our Lord has taken this very curse of God upon his sinless perfect body. And that's why he came. In a sinless perfect body, he took our sin, he took our shame, he took our guilt, he took our pain, he took our sorrow, he took our sicknesses, and in exchange he gives you life, and life abundant. Salvation for your soul, for your body. And one day, you'll put on that glorified body. Hallelujah. If you trust Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, and that body, there will be no iota of the nature of sin, and there will be no sickness. It will be a glorified body. This mortal will put on the immortal. This perishable will put on the imperishable. Hallelujah. Whole of creation, the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, is on tiptoes awaiting the redemption. Jesus Christ has taken all that was possible because he took it all upon his sinless perfect body. He bore our curse so that we can be free from every curse. Yes, the curse that God put upon us because of our rebellion was taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in exchange, he gives you life. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed it is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Not only the Jews, but upon the Gentiles. In Christ Jesus. Not only the Jews, but every non-Jew, every Gentile across the globe can receive this blessing, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And the Spirit gives life to your mortal bodies. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. Salvation for your soul. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Salvation. And Romans 8:11, the Holy Spirit breathes life into our mortal bodies so that we can live. The word saved is the Greek word sodezo. When it's properly translated, it carries the meaning of physical and spiritual healing. It's the same word Jesus used when Jesus said to the leper, your faith has made you sodezo, whole. Luke 17 verse 19. It's the same word that he used when the demonized man of Gadarenes was healed. Jesus uses those words again. Luke 8 verse 36. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon possessed was healed, sodezo. The word salvation is an all-inclusive word. It means full deliverance, complete safety, preservation, soundness spiritually, mentally, and physically. What a miracle. Salvation from sin and from sickness. Salvation for the soul and healing for the body go hand in hand. Now let me read to you Dr. John G. Lake, a great missionary evangelist in South Africa. The turn of the 20th century. He had a ministry which resulted in the healing of thousands, and in an article entitled The Dominion of a Christian, under the subhead of Divine Healing, Not Something Separate from Salvation, Dr. Lake writes these words, and I quote, "One of the difficulties concerning healing that God has to remove from the human mind is this wretched thing that often prevails in the best of Christian circles where healing is taught and practiced, the idea that divine healing is something disassociated or separate from Christ's salvation. It is not. Healing is simply the salvation of Jesus Christ having its divine action in one's body, the same as it had its divine action in one's spirit. When Christ healed the body, he healed the spirit. He healed the spirit also. All a person needs to do is receive the Lord by faith. You see that? Doing this, one's defective eyes receive sight. The dormant mind becomes active and the sick body is healed. Dr. Lake was in South Africa. Dr. Lake further says, I want to fix this thought in your minds. The healing of an individual is God's demonstration to that soul that their sins have been forgiven. And so James states, after affirming that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, that if the sick person has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. If only the victim of sin and sickness who has come to Jesus for deliverance will have faith enough to believe it, he or she will be free in body, free in spirit, healed within and healed without, on the inside and on the outside. Spiritually, physically. That's Dr. John G. Lake, a man of God. The word of God is written so that we can understand and be sure that the will of God is what the will of God is. Let's so enjoy our freedom in Christ. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me translate that rightly. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. When the Holy Spirit is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is the author of His Word, what He says, He will do. And when you believe what He says in His Word, you will have true freedom. You can enjoy your freedom in Christ. The beginning of immortality is when God breathes His life into you and me, and our spirits become the recipients of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we are born again. The will of God is to free the body, mind and spirit from sin, and the effects are penalty of sin, and the effects of penalty of sin, which are diseases, which are disease and death. I repeat, the will of God. You see, you find this throughout Genesis to Revelation. The will of God is to free the body, mind and spirit from sin, and the effects or penalty of sin, which are disease and death. And that's redemption. How simple it is, actually. For people who have this confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, to add faith for the body as well as faith for the spirit. And that is why wherever this truth, the glorious full gospel is proclaimed, the results are inevitable. And this is the commission that Jesus gives us. Mark 16 verses 15 to 18. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Let's number the signs. Number one, in My name, they'll cast out. Number two, they will speak with new tongues. Number three, they will take up. That means you'll be immune to serpent bites when you proclaim this glorious gospel. Number four, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. That means even if some witch doctor tries to poison you, when you're a servant of the glorious gospel, nothing will touch you. Nothing will touch you. Number five, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's what follows the glorious gospel. And then we go on to read in Mark chapter 16 verses 19 to 20. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And then what happened? And then what happened? Story doesn't end there. What happened? What has happened? Please read the rest of the word, rest of the verse loudly. Let's read it together. And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord was working with them and confirming the word. How? Through the accompanying signs. Amen. Please believe the glorious gospel. Please believe the whole truth. Don't believe half truth. You believe half truth, you'll be half Christian. You believe one third truth, you'll be one third Christian. No power in your life. You'll be struggling, battling. If you only believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin and that He didn't die to break the power of sin over your life, you know what will happen? You'll be struggling with sin all your life. And you believe, yes, He died to pay the penalty of my sin. He died also to break the power of sin. But you don't believe that by His wounds you are healed. You'll get sick. You won't get healed. Which is easier, to serve the Lord when you're sick or serve the Lord with a healthy body? Please tell me. Healthy body, right? And that's why he died. That's why he shed his blood. That's why he took upon himself a human body. To deliver you from sin, to deliver you from sickness. And that's the glorious gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the dunamis of God, the power of God unto salvation. These are not words, these are not empty talk, these are not fables. This is not some kind of a religious myth. This is a glorious truth. The truth that can set you free. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter where you came from. I was an Orthodox Syrian Christian before I became a Christian. Yes, that's what I was. That's what I was. No matter what your background may be. Or you could be a Baptist and not yet be a Christian, by the way. Yeah. Or you could be a Methodist and not yet be a Christian. No denomination is going to save you. No religious background is going to save you. Whether you're Hindu, you're Muslim, none of those things are going to save you. It's only Jesus who can save you. No one else. No one else. And that's why he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And we're going to pray now, believing in what God has said in his word. Enjoy your freedom in Christ. Yes, mentally, spiritually. Now, one of the most enjoyable freedoms in the world is the mental and spiritual freedom that comes with escape from the bondage of fear, especially the fear of sickness. And most of the time, it's an imaginary fear. The fear must never be tolerated by the redeemed, the recreated, delivered child of God. The delivered child of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, the great physician, our healer. You must never tolerate the fear of sickness. According to God's word, it's always his will to heal those who will obey him. So believe him. Act boldly on his word. So we're going to pray now, as we always do. So please come forward for prayer in faith, trusting the Lord who is your healer. And he will heal you, because by his wounds, just trust him. By his wounds you are healed. And when you receive prayer by faith, keep continuing to trust. Yes, you may not see something immediately happening in your body, but hold on there in faith and continue to trust him. God has said it in his word. I believe it. That settles it. I receive the healing by faith. That's it. And keep trusting. And when you put your whole trust, when you put your faith, full faith in the word of God, God's word promises you deliverance. Let's pray now. Sudhi, would you please come and sing, please? Let's just worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Will you just stand up and worship the Lord? Let's do that first before we come forward for healing. Let's just worship the Lord. You can worship the Lord. We had a wonderful time of worship this morning. How beautiful. I says, worship the Lord. Worship him in the language of your choice. The Lord is here right now to heal you. Just worship him in the language of your choice. And whatever language the Lord gives you, worship him. Worship him. Those who worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth, is what God says in his word. Worship him in spirit. Yes. You want to sing in spirit? You sing in the spirit. Yes. You want to sing in tongues? Sing in tongues. Worship him. Worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are here, Lord. They fall at your feet. We give you all praise. We give you all worship. Hallelujah. மரணசீகளறியனின் But he's our doctor. So we just trust him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, take away the tiredness. Take away the weakness in the body. I rebuke that weakness. Thank you, Lord, that when we are weak, we are strong in you. Our strength is in you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you take this away. Grant, O Lord, healing. Grant healing. Heal, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we trust you. Your child has come in faith, trusting in your holy matchless name.
Praise you.
And what you said in your word, you will make true in his life. Because you said, by your stripes, by the blows that cut into your body, your child is healed. He trusts you, Lord, and he receives that healing by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Appa, how is it, Appa? How is it?
Better?
It is better.
Yeah, it is getting better.
Hallelujah. That's trust. Thank you, Jesus. They give you thanks, Lord. They give you thanks because you are the healer. We praise your holy name. We worship you. We adore 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 you. We trust in your matchless love. Praying that there will be complete wholeness in spirit, soul, and body. Every spirit of depression I rebuke. Leave. You have no right. You have no authority over this body. This body belongs to God. This is a child of God bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your spirit of depression, depart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe you'll come back and preach. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh.